In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking, first of all, about some scriptures for prisoners. I have a letter from a prisoner who says, "Hi, I trust that this finds you well and rejoicing in the grace of our Lord Jesus. I want to tell you how much your ministry has meant to me this past year. I listen to your program each weekday. I'm challenged and encouraged to walk closer to the Lord through your life. I thank you for your faithfulness. I have no money to share with you, but I do hold you up in prayer on a regular basis. I'm serving a life sentence for something I did not do. We are still engaged in the appeal process. I do feel that God has a purpose for allowing this to happen in my life, so I will not question the wisdom of his methods. I pray only that he will use me for his purposes and show me his perfect will for my life. You said that there were many special promises for prisoners as you prayed for us. Could you please share as many of these promises with me as possible?" Well, I'm delighted to give you just a few. Psalm 69:33 is a favorite. "The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his prisoners." The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his prisoners. If you're scurrying around to get a pencil and paper there in your cell, write down Psalm 69:33. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm sure that somebody there in the prison can get one for you. Psalm 79:11. "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before you. By the strength of your arm, preserve those condemned to die." Genesis 39:20 tells the story of Joseph, a godly man, being put in prison unjustly. Those of you who know that you're there unjustly can take comfort from the fact that you're not by any means the first one, and I'm going to give you some more in a minute from the Bible. Psalm 142:7, "Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then will the righteous gather around me because of your goodness to me." And then Isaiah 42:7 has a prophecy about Jesus. "I will make you to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Jeremiah, the prophet, was shut in prison, and the word of the Lord came to him while he was in prison. Jeremiah 33:1. The word of the Lord can come to you, too, in prison. Jeremiah was put into prison and taken out many times. John the Baptist was put in prison because of obedience to God. He had told a king that it was wrong for him to be living in adultery and got himself imprisoned as a result, and ultimately, as you may remember, got his head chopped off. And the message of Jesus came to him while he was in prison, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me, or is not offended because of me." Perhaps I'm speaking to a prisoner who is feeling very offended because he feels that God has forgotten him. He hasn't. "Blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me." And Jesus said, "I was in prison, and you came to me." That's in Matthew 25, I think, somewhere around verse 40. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned several times, Peter and Silas. And you remember that the Apostle Paul had put many Christians into prison before conversion. Lamentations 3:34. "To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a man of justice, would not the Lord see such things? The Lord does see them. He has not forgotten you. And remember that whoever has wronged you, you must forgive. That will be the way to peace. Remember that God has promised His presence with you, wherever you are, His unfailing presence. And remember the hope of the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Another question that came to me in a letter, and it does come in various forms quite often. I think I've probably dealt with it once or twice on this program before, but I think it needs repeating because many of you didn't hear my answer to this. I've spoken on the subject of the respective roles of men and women, how men are to be the head of the home, not because they are superior to women or more spiritual or more intelligent or anything like that, but because God has assigned them the position of headship. It says in Ephesians 5 that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. And by the same token, God has told us that wives are to submit to their husbands. And it also does say in Titus 2:3-5 that we are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. And in another passage, that older women are to set an example of obedience. And it says that Sarah obeyed her husband. So these are concepts which are certainly not popular in the world today, and a lot of Christians are paying no attention to them. I feel bound by what the scripture says. But more than one of you has written to say, aren't you being hypocritical because you're preaching on the radio? And you say you don't think women ought to be preaching in churches. And I think what I've tried to say very carefully is that authority in the church is vested in men, for the same reason that authority in the home is vested in the husband, because the husband stands in the place of Christ, and the man in authority in the church stands in the place of Christ. And so when women speak or open their mouths in any way in church, they are to be under the authority that God has put there. And men, too, who belong to the church are to be under that authority. Those who use their gifts, Paul says, are to use them within the structure of authority and hierarchy which has been set up in the church. It doesn't make any difference whether it's men or women using their gifts. It's to be under the authority of the man who is in charge, or women are to be under the authority of their husbands. I try not to preach. I think my gift perhaps might be classified as what is called prophecy, in the sense not of foretelling the future, but of building up and encouraging the church. And Paul did allow women to pray and to prophesy. So I hope that I am not misinterpreting scripture here. I hope that I am being consistent in being submissive to my husband, and my husband is certainly approving of my doing this broadcast. But I certainly understand the confusion that is raised, and I appreciate your question, and I hope that this answer makes some sense to you. I am always under the authority of Christ, under the authority of the Word. I have no other authority in my talks other than the Word of God, and I am under the authority of my husband. When I speak in a church, I try always to be sure that a man is in charge if it's a mixed meeting, and that a man is the one who introduces me and thus turns over to me for a limited period the position at the podium. Then somebody wrote, "Keep on being radical for the Lord." Thank you. That was somebody named Vicky Akers. Thank you, Vicky. You think I'm radical for the Lord? Well, you know what radical means? It comes from the same root as the word radish. And it means root. And I certainly want my Christian faith to go to the very roots of my life. It's out of that root that the fruit is going to spring. Shouldn't all of us be radical for the Lord? Only God knows that I'm not nearly radical enough, and I'm praying constantly for growth in grace for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So you pray for me too, will you, Vicki, if you're listening, and any of the rest of you who think that maybe I'm radical and maybe that makes you kind of mad. I'm not surprised. I've made lots of people mad, sometimes for very unnecessary reasons and sometimes for very good reasons. Jesus said, if they didn't listen to me, they won't listen to you. And he also said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. I get wonderful letters speaking well of me. I also get a small number of critical letters. I need both. So don't hesitate. But thank you for your encouragement. And thank you that you want me to keep on being radical for the Lord. Vicki, just pray that the Lord will make me far more of what you think I am. Another letter says, Gateway to Joy has been an anchor of hope for me. Thank you for that word. May this program be an anchor for hope for many. And please remember to pray for us, will you? And God bless you. Lord, I pray now for every listener, for every need that you see. Meet them today, I pray, Lord. Cause them to turn to you and to ask you to help them and to receive your help when it comes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.